Please be seated, and we'll have our first Bible reading, which is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul is speaking here about some of the consequences of Jesus' saving work for those who trust in Jesus and are put right with him. Thank you, Jess.
First reading is from Romans 5, verses 1 to 8. That's page 1132 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, and in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If we're able, we remain standing for our gospel reading, which is from Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. You might like to turn to this in your Pew Bibles, Matthew 9, verse 35, page 974.
Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there, and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will send you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm till the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Passage open, page 974, these pages of seats. And hopefully you had a handout. You may or may not find that helpful. I'm hoping you'll take this away with you as a souvenir. You could sit there now and write your shopping list on it if you like. People will think you're terribly godly for taking notes on the sermon. Now, of course we want the Bible to be relevant, and it is, but sometimes we can leap a little bit too quickly to, well, what is the take-home thing I should do in the light of this passage? After all, the Bible isn't one of those kind of clickbait things, you know, 27 quick ways to have a happy life, or, you know, the 14 secrets that you need to... It's not, first of all, a book about us. It's primarily a book about God, a God whom we meet in the face of Jesus Christ. It's unsurprising, isn't it, that the point of the Gospels is to introduce us to Jesus. As it were, he walks off the pages of the Bible to meet us. So it's always good for us to ask about any passage, what does it tell us about Jesus? In particular, we might think about who he is, why he came, and how we might respond to him. So what does this passage tell us about Jesus? Well, probably many things, but I've put a few on the handout for you. First of all, we might say Jesus is a king who brings good news. This is the great summary that Matthew, Mark and Luke particularly give us of who Jesus is and why he came. You'll remember that he appears preaching the good news of the kingdom and telling people to repent and believe the good news. You can see that summary there in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching, heralding, declaring the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. There's one summary of Jesus' message. He says, the kingdom of God has come. Why? Because he, God's king, has come. Of course, God has always been the king of the world. God made the world. God owns the world. But in Jesus, God the king has come. God the king has turned up in the flesh to claim his world. The kingdom of God is present in the ministry of Jesus in a new and remarkable way. That, I suppose, is why all the demons pile in to attack him. Well, you would, wouldn't you? You know, we don't see demons behind every bush today, but I guess Satan pulled out all the stops on Jesus when he came. And Jesus healed every disease. Again, not something that we see today, but a remarkable sign of the breaking in of his kingdom. For those 3 years in Israel, the kingdom of God was present in a remarkable way because Jesus, God's king, was present. And he announced good news, a proclamation of news, not a helpful suggestion or a theory you might like to think about or a philosophy, an announcement that God is doing something in history. Good news. I wonder if we sometimes lose sight of the goodness of the good news. Perhaps we feel familiar with it. Maybe there's lots about church that we think of as boring and perhaps slightly drudgerous, you know. Oh, is Steve going to put me on a rota again for something I don't really want to do? Salad for 20 people sounds quite a lot. Oh, Jesus would say, don't forget, it's good news. Glad tidings. The best news in the world ever. I guess when we have good news, we tend to be excited about it, don't we? Oh, have you heard? She's getting married. Oh, have you heard? They're having a baby. My son Tarquin has just, you know, got a first and landed a marvellous job or whatever. We enjoy sharing good news, don't we? Well, Jesus would say this is the best news in the world ever. In secular Greek, it's a word, this word gospel. It could be used for the birth of a new king. Think of the crisis in the States when there's no heir. And then, good news. A son has been born. Or a decisive victory in battle. Think of the rider, you know, coming back to the castle. They're all huddled there, worried. Has the kingdom fallen? And the rider says, victory! Everything's changed. Good news. Jesus is the king who proclaims good news. He's a shepherd seeking the lost sheep of Israel. The Bible frequently speaks of human leaders as shepherds, so we get the word pastor from that, of course, and it speaks of God as the ultimate shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, God denounces the priests in Old Testament times for abusing the sheep, neglecting their job, and he says, I myself will come and shepherd them. Jesus is God the shepherd, come to take charge of his people who are like lost sheep, of course vulnerable, exposed. He cares for his sheep, he has compassion on them. He is the good shepherd who will lay down his life for them. He's the king, he's the shepherd, he's a farmer. Jesus says to his disciples, look around, the fields are ready for harvest. Pray that the Lord would send out workers into his harvest field. We all know the Lord's Prayer, I guess. We might call this the Lord's other prayer, the other thing that Jesus tells us to pray about. Pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, would send out workers into his harvest field. Of course, the rotas need to be filled. But more than that, there's good news to be shared. Jesus, the good shepherd, is seeking his sheep. There is a harvest coming, a time of separation and judgment, when the wheat will be gathered in, when God's judgment will come. Pray that God would send out workers into his harvest field. King, shepherd, farmer, Messiah, the promised rescuer king, the anointed one. All these roles overlap, of course. But this is perhaps the point of Jesus having 12 disciples. You know, why not 10 or 15? 12? Well, because of the 12 tribes of Israel. Here are the new patriarchs of God's people. What is Jesus doing? He's renewing the people of God. He's calling to himself a new Israel. And Jesus, not one of the 12, but the kind of Lord of the 12, the Messiah. The people of God are going to be defined now, not by ethnicity, by being Jewish, but by trusting in Jesus, by their allegiance to Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus the King, the Shepherd, the Farmer, the Messiah, the founder of the new, renewed Israel, the people of God. Well, much more could be said, but Jesus sends out his disciples, the apostles, to share in this mission, to do what he did, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to heal the sick. It's the same mission carried on through Jesus' disciples. This seems to be a kind of temporary training exercise. You know, later it will all change. They'll be sent to all the nations, as we thought about a few weeks ago. But here's the last chance for Israel to receive her Messiah. Jesus sends them just to the lost sheep of Israel in this instance, and he says, don't take anything with you. Instructions which I'm pleased to say he later rescinds in Luke 22 verse 35 following, so it's not necessary to sell off the rectory, don't worry. This is a sort of training exercise for them to make sure that they trust in God. But it's not a very attractive mission, is it? Jesus says to them, I'm sending you as sheep amongst wolves. Now, I'm not a farmer, but that is not likely to end well for the sheep, is it? Jesus says to them, well, you're going to be arrested and flogged. It'll be pretty terrible. We might hope for better things in 21st century Britain, hopefully. But nevertheless, it shows us that Jesus' people can expect persecution sometimes. Remember that we follow a perfect Messiah whom they crucified. So, you know, you do things that actually people can reasonably be upset with. And yet, even when the perfect Messiah came, they killed him and bathed for his blood. So the disciple might not be above his master. The Christian message is great good news, but it's also humbling, convicting, isn't it? We don't really want to be told that there's a God who's in charge of our lives, who's got ideas about how we should live. The Christian message is likely to produce some resistance, some hostility sometimes from some people. You probably know the supposed advert that Ernest Shackleton used for his 1914 endurance expedition. They were hoping to walk across the Antarctic, but the weather intervened. And I think this is probably apocryphal. You can Google it. You can see pictures of the advert, but I don't think they can actually track it down to a publication. But it's, I think they train copywriters on this. It's an amazing, amazing advert. You know it. So he allegedly said, men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honour and recognition in event of success. And they supposedly queued round the block, or wrote it in their millions, you know. Well, in some ways, Jesus' invitation is similar, isn't it? Come, follow me, take up your cross. You're going to die to self and to what you want. But, Jesus says, it's worth it. I'm a king who brings good news. I'm a shepherd who is seeking the lost sheep of Israel, who's compassionate and cares for his people. I'm a farmer, and there's going to be an ultimate judgment and reckoning. I will put the world to rights. I'm the Messiah, the long-promised rescuer king, who will sort everything out and bring in the kingdom of God in all its fullness. And you can be in on that. You can be one of God's people if you will put your trust in me. And what's more, I'm doing this through my people, through my church. I call you to join in this same mission which I've had. Will we receive this Jesus? Will we share this Jesus? It's not necessarily easy and happy all the time, but Jesus would say it's worth it. Nothing matters more. Let's be quiet for a moment and then we'll pray. Father, we thank you afresh for the Lord Jesus. And we pray for your blessing and help as we reflect on him, on who he is, on why he came and what it means to follow him. We pray as we gather around his table now that you would feed us and equip us for your service and send us out on this mission. We pray that you would raise up workers for your harvest field. That you might help us to play our part in bringing these great glad tidings to all the nations. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.